Well, welcome back a returning champion who once frequently graced our airwaves as a columnist for the Register Guard. These days, however, he is in Ann Arbor covering Michigan athletics for The Athletic. You can check out what he's up to on Twitter. Use the handle at @ByAustinMeek. Austin, by my math, been about 11 weeks since we chatted. How is Team Meek doing back in Ann Arbor?
You know, Steve, we're hanging in there. I don't feel like much changes every time I talk to you. About 3 or 4 months pass, and we're still all just kind of sitting here in our house looking at each other, which is probably the experience of many people right now. But, hey, that's a good thing. If life is staying the same for people right now, that's probably about the best we can hope for, right?
Yes, not losing ground now is seen as a gain. So I think that's kind of a societal commentary. And who knows, maybe when we talk in another 11 weeks, your guess is as good as mine. So when one logs on to your Twitter account, you have a pinned tweet that I think you posted like about 5 days after we last talked. It's very in-depth. It's kind of disturbing and sadly kind of a common theme from Larry Nassar at Michigan State. Vulnerable student-athletes preyed upon by those in a position of trust. So for openers, for those unfamiliar with this Robert Anderson, what was his position? And I guess mostly posthumously, what has he been accused of?
Yeah, it's a really disturbing story that has really rocked a lot of people here at Michigan. He was a team doctor for the Michigan football team in the 70s and 80s and 90s. And just in the last few years, a large number of former football players and players in other sports as well, have come forward to say that they were sexually abused by Dr. Anderson during their playing careers at Michigan. So there's an investigation going on right now. There have been dozens of lawsuits filed. Really, really sad story. That has raised a lot of questions about a lot of people at Michigan, including some really, really respected figures, you know, at the school, including Bo Schembechler, who was the football coach at the time that Robert Anderson was the team doctor. So, unfortunately, a story that, you know, we've seen versions of this at other places, Penn State, Ohio State. You mentioned the Larry Nassar scandal at Michigan State, and it's another sad chapter, unfortunately, happening at Michigan.
You know, whether it's Art Briles at Baylor, you mentioned Sandusky, there seems to be this element of blind loyalty among supporters and alum who are like, I don't want to hear about it. You know, when you write a research piece highly informed like this, and you're targeting somebody at a university the likes of Michigan, be it social media, text, emails, or any other form of communication, do you experience any kind of like a backlash?
You know, I can't say that I have experienced a lot personally, maybe a little bit. I would say the people who really stuck their necks out on that particular story were the former players who came forward and talked about their experiences. You know, they were really the ones who took a risk there, because that's I can only imagine that that's an incredibly hard thing to do, to be somebody who played football at Michigan and played for, you know, the great Bo Schembechler. You're a Michigan man. That term carries so much weight for former players. So for somebody who had that experience to come forward years later and say, this happened to me while I played here, knowing the implications of that, you know, knowing the questions that it raises about Bo and about the whole culture at Michigan, that's a really hard thing to do. And I really do have a ton of respect for the players who came forward and shared their stories for that piece, because, you know, they took a big risk, and I'm sure that wasn't easy, but I think that they felt that by telling those stories that hopefully it would help, it would help make some changes to make sure something like this never happens again.
talking with Austin Meek of The Athletic, you know, leading up to the season, I asked you about the support gauge on Jim Harbaugh. The season obviously was going to be challenging for openers than on field. They lose again to Michigan State. They lost to Indiana, I think, for the first time since 87, only got two wins. And even though the extension was for, you know, less money, how would you gauge the reaction of Wolverine fans and supporters after a season like this saying, yeah, we're still all in. Let's re-up for another 4 or 5 years.
They're not wild about it, Steve. Gotta be honest. Not a lot of celebration from the Michigan fans about that contract extension. I think the reasonable fans probably understood the situation, which is this. You know, Michigan under Jim Harbaugh haven't lived up to expectations, haven't beaten Ohio State, haven't won the Big Ten. We know all that. Still, if you take this year out of the equation, which this was a weird year for a lot of reasons, and they've still been a solid program. You know, they've won 9 or 10 games pretty much every year with Jim Harbaugh. And so, you know, there's a calculation there that if we can get Jim Harbaugh to come back on a contract that matches up a little better with the results that we've been seeing on the field, maybe that's the right thing to do right now at a time when, look, it's a hard time to go out and hire a coach. Other schools have done it, but I think some schools are a little bit nervous about trying to make a coaching change right now in the middle of the pandemic when coaches still can't go out on the road and recruit. I think the calculation for Michigan was, look, we're gonna give Jim Harbaugh a contract extension that's pretty low risk with a pretty small buyout and less guaranteed money. And if it doesn't work out a year from now, we can go back and we can make a move. That was their calculation. But I can tell you, a lot of fans feel like they've seen enough and they were ready to move on.
Another interesting article you posted, I think, yesterday had to do with recruiting. You know, Michigan, the state, is in California or Florida or Texas, but it's usually one of the top 10 for providing FBS scholarships. So according to some of the coaches of the more prominent high school programs in state, it's accurate to say that there's this feeling that Harbaugh and his program don't connect enough with potential prospects in his own backyard?
Yeah, that's been one of the things that's been brought up about Jim Harbaugh. One of the complaints is that he's missed out on some players in this area that if your program was really hitting on all cylinders, those players would probably come to Michigan. And instead, you know, some of them have gone to Ohio State. Some of them have gone to other Big Ten schools. Some of them have gone to Alabama. You know, it's one of those things that gets talked about a lot here. And actually, just right before I got on the phone with you, Michigan announced that they were hiring Mike Hart, a former Michigan running back, who's a very familiar name here, to join the coaching staff. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that people have been asking for here is, you know, for Jim Harbaugh to, you know, to build his staff with a little more focus on his own backyard. And, you know, we'll see if that's, you know, if that's the answer. I'm not sure it's, you know, the only answer to get things turned around for Michigan, but there is a sense that if they could do a little better job keeping some of the best players at home, then maybe that could be part of the solution to get things turned around here.
Yeah, Michael Hart played, that was their lead back when Oregon came to Michigan and beat them in 2007.
Yeah, that's right.
So while they decided to re-up Harbaugh, they have, well, you just kind of did the perfect segue. They got rid of their defensive coordinator, Don Brown, who was cut loose after 5 seasons. I was reading that they might go after Mike McDonald, who's on the staff of Harbaugh's brother with the Ravens. So any surprise Brown was let go and any word on how close they might be to finding a coordinator?
Not a surprise that Don Brown was not retained. He had been here 5 years, really good defenses at the beginning of his tenure when they had a bunch of NFL players. And you know how this works. If you don't have first and second round draft picks, your defense doesn't look as good. And that's kind of what happened here. Is the talent dropped off a little bit. You know, Don Brown, he's got a really interesting style of defense. And, you know, you guys are going to see it now in the Pac-12 since he's at Arizona. He blitzes a ton. Super aggressive, plays a lot of man coverage with his corners. You know, and if you've got the athletes to do that, it can be a really dominant defense. And what we saw at Michigan is that when Don Brown had the better athletes, his defenses could really shut down the other team. You know, teams just didn't really have any answers for it. When he didn't have the best athletes, it could get exposed. And really, Ohio State was the team that exposed it. If you think back to that game in 2018 when Ohio State destroyed Michigan for the first time, that was really kind of the beginning of the end for Don Brown. And then the next year's defense took a step back, and then it all just kind of fell apart in 2020. So, yeah, it sounds like Mike McDonald, linebackers coach for the Ravens, is the name that's been out there. You know, interesting hire, doesn't have a big college background. Going to be some questions about, you know, whether that's the right way to go. But there's no real question that they did need to shake things up because, like I said, it once it turned for Don Brown and went south, it went south in a hurry.
You sure did. A few final thoughts for Austin Meek of The Athletic. The quarterback position was kind of unsettled. Joe Milton played the most. Cade McNamara about as half as much. Dylan McCaffrey, Christian's brother, opted out. So be it looking ahead to 2021 or any big-time recruits, what does the quarterback spot at Michigan look like?
Yeah, it's tough to say. Joe Milton, you know, as you mentioned, was the starter going into this year, played okay, kind of hit a rut in the middle of the season. They played another guy, Cade McNamara, then he got hurt. You mentioned J.J. McCarthy, the five-star freshman coming in. They're going to have another kind of wide-open quarterback competition, I think. If Joe Milton is back, and it seems like he will be, I'd probably think he'd have a little bit of an edge just because he already won the job once. But I tell you what, if J.J. McCarthy is as good as advertised, he's definitely the future. Best high school quarterback Jim Harbaugh has signed here by a pretty wide margin. And the expectation is if he's not starting games next year, it's not going to be very long. It's just kind of a matter of time, I think, until he wins the job.
Couple final thoughts. So, Monday, Alabama beat Ohio State by a million. We saw Clemson was there. Then it ends up the lowest-rated title game in the relatively short history of the playoff. While I love keeping it at four because it just keeps college football with the most cutthroat regular season, but so from your chair, and it's all speculation, is expansion the answer, or does somebody just need to catch up to the big three and make it more interesting?
Steve, I think you're losing ground, buddy. there's not too many people left who are still all in with the 14 playoff. And I admit I've kind of evolved over the years. When I was in Eugene, I think I was probably kind of on the same page as you that I didn't really see the need for an 18 playoff. And I still think there is an argument there that if you've got two or three teams who are clearly the best every year, why do you need to expand the playoff? Right? Like, that would be the argument.
Sure.
I actually think that expanding the playoff would be really good for the regular season because part of what has happened is, there's certain games that don't mean very much anymore. Say you're Michigan. You're not on the same level as Ohio State. You're definitely not on the same level with Alabama. So going into the season, what's Michigan playing for? They want to win all their games. They want to go to a bowl game. Like, I'm not saying it's meaningless, but if there was a possibility that Michigan, could go 11-1 and get into the playoff as like a number six seed, that would give an incentive for Michigan that's not there right now. And I think it would open things up a little bit. You would just see more teams be more relevant. And maybe if you've got more teams feeling more relevant, then that spreads things out a little bit in recruiting. And I don't know, I've come to the belief that it probably would be good to expand the playoff, not necessarily because like team number seven is going to win the national championship, but just because it would keep more teams involved, and it feels like it's gotten really stale right now with these few teams at the top.
Well, it couldn't have been less interesting this year. So my stranglehold, Austin, seems to be slipping. So
hold your ground, man.
You know, I know you don't cover the Michigan basketball program, but, you know, they're one of the three unbeatens with Gonzaga and Baylor. They've got this beast of a freshman, Hunter Dickinson, who's just dominating. Of course, Juwan Howard, a favorite son, a Fab Fiver. So how much of a buzzer are these guys causing in your town?
Yeah, it's really, I mean, it's been a tough year for Michigan fans, obviously, with how the football season went. So for this basketball program to be playing as well as they are, really has it's kind of rescued things for a lot of Michigan fans. People say now it's a basketball school, and I can't really argue with that because Juwan Howard has got the basketball program hitting on all cylinders. They have the number one recruiting class coming in next year. They're really a year or two ahead of schedule when you look at it. Like this year, there was, you know, people thought that they might be like, you know, a fringe tournament team. The next year was really going to be the year that they were primed to be really good. But they're really good right now. I mean, can they win it all? I have no idea. I don't follow college basketball as closely as I used to, but, I know they're really good. They've got a really nice blend of experience. You know, they've got some older guys, Franz Wagner, Mo Wagner's little brother is a really good player, is going to get drafted really high. So, they've got all the pieces, and they're really fun to watch. And Michigan fans need it because they've suffered a lot over the last year or so.
Folks, he's Austin Meek of The Athletic. Always fun catching up, my friend. I'm glad you and your family are doing well, staring at each other and at TV and ball games and Netflix. You can keep up with Austin. Subscribe to The Athletic, support great quality journalism, or on Twitter at by Austin Meek. Austin, always fun catching up, and we'll chat again down the road, and I greatly appreciate your time, sir. Be well.
All right. Thanks, Steve. Great to catch up.
All right. Take it easy.